Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I really never take it for granted that you lend your time, your ear to the show. I really have the best audience ever. I am just so convinced of that. I appreciate you so much. I love when I hear from you, when you either email me at successfuldiligence.com/contact, or when you click the link in the show notes and you send me voice messages. Those are the most fun because I love to hear your voice and get your feedback. I appreciate every single review on the Apple Podcast platform, and you guys are just amazing. And that's why I am so committed to bringing you intelligent, quality conversations with amazing human beings, and today is no different. Today is a special conversation because it is my first Generations Talk Generation Z interview. I am so excited to introduce you to my friend, who I just respect and admire so much. And yes, she is Generation Z, so she could literally be my daughter or my granddaughter. And that's okay, because in some things, the generation doesn't matter. Christina Sanderson is her name, and she is the founder of KSMG Project Solutions and the Remy Brandoff Group. Through her work with her agencies, she leads a dedicated team of 100+ strategists, process improvement consultants, and virtual assistants that focus on the implementation of new systems, improvement of existing processes, and the development of products, service offerings. And really, you guys, that does not do her justice, but we'll get into all the things. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, I'm so excited. Now, audience, I want you to understand something. Christina has been one of the most flexible, understanding humans on the planet, because this is, I think, our fourth time having to reschedule and modify and be flexible together. And it matters behind the scenes when you're working with someone, the integrity, the character, and just the way that they show up behind the scenes. And I want to put forth in the open, in front of the scenes, how amazingly professional Christina is and how much I truly respect you as a human. So Christina, it is an honor to have you on the show. My audience is probably meeting you for the first time. And so for those who are just getting to know you, give us a little bit of background about who is Christina Sanders and how did you come to do the work that you're doing?
Thank you so much, Michelle. I appreciate you so deeply. Words cannot explain the value that you bring. So thank you so much for having me today. Who am I? I think I'm at my core just an entrepreneur who's crazy about entrepreneurship, and I'm a big advocate of resources. So my goal is to give resources to entrepreneurs, people that are looking to enter that space, and, you know, share the tools that I've learned over the last 6 years and help, you know, build someone else's legacy. So that is who I am and what I do, and a little bit more plain text, but I'm just passionate about business. So I guess that's my two cents.
I love it. I love it. We're going to unpack that a little bit more because you are a Gen Zer. And so how old are you?
How old am I? I am 20. I am 20 years old. So yes, I am quite young, younger than a lot of people within my industry, especially in the role that I take in strategy, but I'm 20 years young.
I just think that's amazing. So listeners, I want you to understand something. I'll be 47 this year. I'm 46 at the time of this recording. I've got a little bit over a month left of being 46, and Christina is 20 years old, and she has already built a successful entrepreneurial business. She also provides tremendous value to so many business owners, and she's only 20. Now, when I was 20, I was not thinking about business. So Christina, did you always have a passion for providing resources, helping people or assisting people, business-minded, or how did you come into entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I started when I was 14, actually. So I started a little early in the game. And I started with my dad. Everything that I do with business owners now is leveraging outsourcing so that they can eventually bring in full-time employees and making sure that they're really building a culture within their organization. But it really started, if I'm being truthful, with the fact that my dad wouldn't hire me. So when I was 14, so my dad does a lot of work within OSHA and OSHA training within his small business, iSigma Group. And everything I had when I was younger, I had to work for it. And so I needed some extra cash. And he's like, you know, you can work for me. And I'm thinking I'm going to go onto the payroll as an employee. And he's like, no, I'm going to bring you in as a contractor and, you know, set your rate and, you know, charge me for the deliverables that you complete. And that's how I started. But I couldn't figure out why my dad wouldn't hire me. And that's when I realized at the very, you know, young age of 14, the benefits that, you know, bringing contractors on initially can, you know, can help everyone with. So I started off in that space and I was, you know, making print marketing materials. I was doing social media management. And then from there, scaled my agency in that space. And then expanded even more throughout the years. And then now I don't do as much boots on the ground stuff, but I guess my superpower is translating, you know, what's going on in a contractor's mind and also the goals and values of the business owner and being able to bounce back and forth and making sure that both, you know, sides of the stick are profitable and productive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that they're, you know, building that company culture from the very beginning, the first person that they bring on. So that is where it all started.
That is so fascinating to me because, you know, I'm thinking back and whenever people share their story, I'm always like amazed at the different places that we all come from. And so as a 14-year-old, your father, number one, you had a father, right? You happen to be African-American or brown skinned. And so in that community, it's not always an assumption that there's a father around. So number one, kudos to your family for having parental figures in your life. So you had a father who was training you to be business minded. And I think back when I was 14, I come from a single mother home. My father was not in the picture. I did have uncles and grandparents and things like that. But I was babysitting. I was being a camp counselor. I wasn't being trained to be a business owner, which is fascinating to me because I think that where you come from matters to a degree. It doesn't mean that if you don't have that training, you can't eventually go into something like that, but it does matter what you're introduced to and when. So talk to me about that, you know, being introduced so young to that business mindset and that business training.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think especially in the African-American community, you know, it's tough for people to see entrepreneurship as a full-time option, you know, and what the options are as far as pursuing it full-time, you know, what can you do? When can you do it? How do you start? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that that's really, or can be jarring for some young people. It's overwhelming. You're like, I know that I want to do this, but I just don't know where to start. And I think for so long, you know, there's been this narrative that's been told. It's like, hey, you're going to go to school, you're going to graduate, you're going to get the job, you're going to make six figures, you know, the wife, the house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think now, you know, as the rate of getting a college tuition is steadily increasing as far as how much it costs to actually go. And then what people are getting out of it. You know, people are graduating and they're, you know, thousands of dollars in debt and they can't get a job. And so now I think companies are really prioritizing people having experience But that wasn't the case before. And so I think a lot of young people are just kind of in limbo. They're like, what do I do? This is what I was told to do. And this isn't working now that I've graduated. So I think for me, I was exposed to it really early. And that had some pros, but it also had some cons. So my dad was a parallel entrepreneur. And if you're not familiar with what that term, it essentially means that he worked his 9 to 5 and he did, you know, things for his business. So my dad gives back a lot behind the scenes. So he's involved in, you know, 16 different pots all at once. But that work ethic was something that I was so used to seeing at home. So when I first graduated high school, I was like, okay, well, I need to do both too.
Because so, that's what you saw. That was what was modeled for you.
Yeah. That's what I was used to, you know? And so when I was 15, I was working at restaurants. I've worked at all different kinds. You know, I've worked at Arabic restaurants, Cajun restaurants, you know, all these different cuisines, which was really cool to be exposed to different kinds of cultures. And so I grew a real respect for the immigrant community through that work. And then I was like, okay, well, I also need to do something else. So when it got certified and I was teaching as a Montessori teacher and I was doing stuff for my business. And so my schedule, this is so crazy. I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and ride the bus for 2 hours to go and teach. I get to the school, you know, like 7 o'clock in the morning, work there until 4:30, ride the bus another 2 hours to get back to my side of town. And then I'd go work at the restaurant. And I work at the restaurant from 5 o'clock, you know, between 5 and 7 o'clock all the way until sometimes, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, but usually on a good day, I could get out at 1. Then I'd ride the bus again, you know, to get home. And I would literally run on like 3 hours of sleep every single day. And I barely
Oh my gosh. Wait, hold on. Because that schedule is bananas for anybody. Yeah. Forget the fact you're a teenager. So were you feeling any sort of like FOMO, like I'm missing out on friends and parties and the teenage thing? Or were you just so focused that you didn't even like think about it?
No, I definitely missed it. You know, I was working 100 hours a week. You know, I was also doing my client stuff during that time, you know, lunch breaks, you know, like on the bus to my next job. So I was tackling, you know, all of those things at once. And so everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's so great. You're so young. You're doing all the things. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have anything to talk to my friends about because all of my friends in high school were in completely different positions. You know, they're in school full time trying to figure out how to get an internship. And I'm like, well, I'm working 100 hours a week and I can't call off to hang out with you because I need to pay my bills, you know? So in some ways it was really rewarding, but I didn't see it at the time because I was in the trenches. So I missed a lot of that interpersonal friendships that I had with my friends back in high school, but it felt a lot of times like I was worlds away from them. And even now, I think like all of the friends that I've built throughout, you know, the experience that I've had within my business and expanding my network, like all of my friends are like over 30 and pay mortgages. And I'm like, I need someone who's not paying a mortgage so that we can just kick it for a weekend. But
yeah.
On the flip end, it's been really rewarding. So it's, you know, there's both ends to it, but it's nice.
That's so fascinating to me because I remember, coming from a single mother home, I was always working. I started babysitting at 12 and camp counselor. And then I started working for my uncle who was he owned a digital marketing media company and a corporate media production company. And he owned a studio. So I was like the assistant to the CEO. And I mean, he worked me as if I was an employee. So I sort of can relate a little bit, but I got resentful because I was like, I want to party and do my high school thing. And so it's interesting because I think you're right. The work ethic that you developed and that perspective is so value added for your later years in life. And you also miss sort of like the drama, you know, the high school drama, some of the traumatic experiences that can happen, some of the petty experiences that can happen that we all watch on reality TV. but you're right. There's pros and there's cons to both of it. So were you success minded or were you just sort of showing up, doing it and running on autopilot?
Well, I knew the goal eventually was for me to, you know, be able to do this full time, being able to just be within my business and sustain myself with just that income. And thankfully now I've gotten to that point, but you know, there were even times when I didn't need to work as much because I was making more money, but I was so used to the grind of it, you know, like the gristle, the grind and the hustle of just being in it and doing it every day. And, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, well, that's fine, I can turn it away. But it's a little bit more difficult when there's money on the table. It's like, well, I'm used to working 100 hours a week. And if I, you know, cut something out, I'm not going to be making what I would be making before. So that was kind of like the weird place. So
when and, I well, how did you handle money as a teenager? Because you can't really get a bank account until you're 18, right?
Yeah, I actually didn't get a bank account until I was 18, at least a business one. But I used to always just squirrel my little money away. And my dad supported me a lot and was, you know, holding on as the great parents do, holding on to a lot of my money until I moved out.
Wow. That's so interesting to me. That's so fascinating. And so, I mean, well, let me ask you this, because from my perspective, I'm like, wow, she's so young and yet so successful. Like you're more in if we, well, so here's my struggle. Like I'm struggling to not compare, because comparison is really an illusion, right? Because we all live our own journeys and walk our own path. At the same time, you don't find a lot of, you know, successful 20-year-olds who, and you have not disclosed your finances, but I'm just thinking from the way that you're talking and the way that your business is growing that I can see from the outside in, that, you know, there are some entrepreneurs who are in their 30s and 40s who may not be as financially successful or even time freedom successful as you are at age 20. And so my question is, do you feel like you are successful, or do you think that you still have success to reach?
I think I have a lot more success to gain. I think that I'm really far away from where I'm looking to be. I think I'm glad that I've reached the point that I'm at, because now, just as far as justification for like my services, you know, that cost is now justified based on, you know, these 6 years of experience that I've had. So I can justify, you know, the hourly rate that I deserve, but other people in my industry that might be in their, you know, 30s and 40s, and especially in marketing, you know, it's a very white male dominated space. So as a Black woman, being able to justify that same cost and having the same industry level experience as my peers is really, really rewarding. But now I'm like, okay, well, what's next? And so I think I've been on a really concerted effort to give back to my community, not only people of color specifically, but young people, to show them like, hey, I'm a living, breathing example. You know, this is why I'm here. This is how you can do it. I'll hire you if you need a job. You know, I'll look over your cover letter. If you want to do a mock interview with me, you can. And I think that servitude is always at the core of my business. You know, I work with over 100 different contractors, and everyone is always like, well, you know, what happens when they build their own agencies and then they go away? And I'm like, that's beautiful. That's amazing. That means I can give them more projects. That's the goal.
Collaboration.
Because they have more people. Yeah.
That's so powerful. I mean, Christina, what you're building and what you're being a model for those people who don't have someone like your dad in their life, right? You are able to model for people in the Generation Z and younger. I don't even know what the alphabet is for the generation after you. But you're a model for them that says, hey, age is not a barrier or a limitation to success, however you define it. And if you want to build your own business or empire or whatever, you can do it. The world is so different now from when I was growing up as a Gen Xer, and certainly from the boomers and the greatest generation, which mm-hmm. is my grandparents, who were 101. But the world is so different, you know, and even with the millennials, the older millennials, the world has changed so much. And nowadays, there really is not a limit to what you can do if you really want it. And so I love that you're modeling and giving back. And let me ask you this, though, because at age 20, you've achieved so much, right? Not only mm-hmm. just financially, but just, you know, life-wise, you're extremely mature developmentally and cognitively, and just the way that you think and the way that you view the world. And I wonder, have you received the lesson of balance and self-care? And if so, what has that journey looked like for you?
That is an amazing question. So that's the journey that I'm tackling now. You know, I think now that I'm able to kind of breathe a little bit and I don't have to be in the trenches, I can, you know, take a step back. I've separated myself from a lot of what I really started off doing, which I found great passion with in the beginning. But then I realized like the bigger issue is that clients don't realize how to talk to these people that are doing these positions. They don't know why they're hiring them. They don't know the impact that it has in the long run. So I shifted what I was doing to be able to represent people that were like me in that space, and working with business owners so that they, you know what that looks like. So now that I've been able to build that piece of it and work more in strategy, I have a lot more time to myself. And
that quiet time that sneaks up on you.
I know, it does. Well, I think, you know, for the next year, it's definitely on my list to travel more. You know, now that I have more time and the pandemic, hopefully, right, is dying down a little bit, I'll be able to go and see some of my clients. I've gotten some of my first international clients this last year. So that's been really rewarding.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, they're over in London. See, I got one client over there and then he sent me like 6 referrals and it just like rocketed off from there. So that's
been really great. Oh, I love that. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. But I definitely want to travel more. You know, my boyfriend lives over in Maryland. So usually once a month I will go over there. So I'm usually back and forth between like the DMV area and Houston. That's the bulk of my travel right now, but I'm looking to expand that a lot more and just see all of the things, because that's what I haven't really had the opportunity to do. And I think there's not a better time to do it than now. I don't want to wait till retirement, because retirement feels so far away. But I want to be able to experience those things while I'm young and hopefully, you know, build a friend base that is, you know, can do those things with me. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. That's my self-care for myself.
I love that. And retirement is really a concept that is, I think, very flexible. You know, there's work optional, there's semi-retirement. Who came up with the phrase retirement, and what does that even mean anymore? Because if you can self-sustain and not have to work for 9 months out of the year, and your mm-hmm. work in one quarter can sustain you for the whole year, are you retired or are you work optional? Or what is that? You know, you can really build yeah. the type of life and lifestyle that you want to nowadays. It's possible. Now, I got to ask you, and this is a shout out to Brian McElderry, Dr. Brian McElderry,
who I love from Dr. Clubhouse. Brian.
Shout out to Dr. McElderry, who I have invited on the podcast. Listeners, you are going to be just so grateful to hear this man speak on a variety of topics. But I bring him up because he has started a new business about credit and finance and financial literacy, specifically within the Black community, but also beyond that, and utilizing business credit and leveraging other people's money and miles and points and all the things. So I only bring him up, number one, to shout him out and to encourage him to schedule that meeting with me so we can schedule his recording of the show. Ha ha, holla, holla back. And to bring up a question for you, have you been able to get mentors to teach you, introduce you to things that you don't know just based on age? Because there is some things that wisdom is imparted simply from living a number of years on life and seeing things and experiencing life, just being alive for a certain number of years. And oftentimes when you're younger, you don't know what you don't know. And so the question is, have you been able to obtain mentors or people that have been able to deposit into your successful life, who you are now, right? In a way that has benefited you so that you can really continue to curate the type of life and lifestyle that you really want to be living?
Yes, absolutely. That's something that I've always valued. There's two things I say to that. One, I say that every client relationship that I've had has given me some kind of mentorship in some way, shape, or form. It's funny because I usually don't even tell people how old I am. And then I join Clubhouse and everyone's like, oh my God, she's 20. What? And it's like, everyone knows now. Right. So it's weird because I was so used to like just doing the work. And then it's like this, like taking the cat out of the bag once they've gotten everything and they're happy and they're on their way. And they're like, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm 20. And they're like, what? So my mentors have really been able to help me get into those rooms and, you know, take the work that I do seriously and back me on that. And so, you know, through the years, Grace has been an amazing mentor. My dad has always been there. You know, Regina, Steve, David, you know, if you guys are listening to this, shout out to you guys, because I've learned so much from you guys. And even if it's just checking in to say, hey, you know, I've got this thing going on with my client, I don't know what to do, and you just hearing me out, that really helps. You know, that's the things, those are the relationships that really keep me going. And it's interesting because I'd say about half of the mentors that I have, and I have dozens and dozens, they learn from me and they see me as a mentor in some ways. They're like, you know, every day we talk, you know, I learn something new from you because everything you do is so amazing and the way you look at things. But I've learned now that mentorship should be, you know, this kind of symbiotic relationship. And I shouldn't be the only person learning things as a young person, but giving older people that have been within the spaces of marketing or business for, you know, 20, 30 plus years, they have a completely different insight on things, but that doesn't rule out the possibility for them to also learn from my own perspectives. So I guess that's how I feel about that. But I think that mentorship, especially in the Black community, is much, much, much needed. And I would also say that there's a lot of mentorship, peer mentorship that happens within our communities that doesn't necessarily get, you know, the national recognition that it deserves. But I think we do a lot of that work on an individual basis and uplift each other. And that's the work that counts.
Absolutely. And that's what creates the community. And, you know, it's fascinating. And that's one of the reasons I love doing these Generation Talk episodes, where I, as an Xer, get to talk to Gen Z and millennials and really talk about the concepts that affect all of us from different perspectives. And those of us who are more mature, who are wise enough to stay open-minded, there's so much to learn. And those who are in your generation, the Gen Z and the millennials, and then the one who's coming up behind you, I don't know the alphabet yet, you have the foreknowledge and the humbleness to say, there's something I can still learn. I don't know everything. And that's really what I think true community is about. And as a global human community, that's really what we should all be striving for. And so I absolutely love that you have that perspective. It brings up a question for me, though. Have you experienced ageism? And we usually think about ageism from the old people getting discriminated against, but have you experienced ageism from the opposite, from being younger?
Now, in this past year, I have. So when I first started my business, I had a lot of older people that would kind of, you know, back me, get me in the rooms, help me close the deal, et cetera, et cetera. But I never, ever, ever put myself in the forefront of my business. It's always like, you know, here's the work that we do. Here are our client success stories. You know, this is what should make you want to work with us. Not because it's like, oh my gosh, look, it's this cute, young, you know, 14-year-old entrepreneur.
So you were not the brand.
Yeah, I was never the brand. And so I guess in the last year, as everyone's finding out that I'm 20, there have been some questions like, well, how can you know? And it's like, well, but what happened to me was I realized that my clients didn't know why they were hiring me. So I stopped everything that I was doing and I went and learned marketing strategy. And I've worked at agencies, you know, I've done the boots on the ground work. I've developed these things. I've had these, you know, client relationships with, you know, companies that are making millions and millions of dollars. So I've had that experience, but it never started that way. This is not like I've Googled myself into figuring out how to do what I do. In some way, shape, or form, I've always been doing this. Even when I was like, you know, 5, 6 years old, my dad would go to a client meeting and he would bring me along, you know, when he would bring me to do expense reports on the weekend. Like, I've always been engaged in this. And I think some people can see, okay, well, she's 20. How much experience can she really have? So I've gone through that so much lately. And I have to justify the work that I do, but I think that that comes with the territory and it's an amazing place to be in. But I think that people should recognize that there's a lot more people like me. No one ever talks about them. There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of young entrepreneurs that just don't get recognition. We're like in the shadows.
Well, and you're the real deal. And but it's interesting you use the word you have to justify, because you are the real deal. You have the skills, you do have the experience, and yet there is still a need to justify for those clients who may not be as open-minded as others at the beginning of your career, which is so interesting to me. Not surprising though, based on human behavior and just the way we are, right? But it's really interesting. And what I love is the way that you respond. You don't react, you respond. And it makes me wonder about gratitude. Does gratitude play a part in your life? Has it impacted you at all? How do you implement gratitude? Does it even matter? What is gratitude to you and how is it integrated in your life, if at all?
Absolutely. I think that I always try to take a second and pause. You know, I'll free up my schedule to talk to someone who really needs it. And they might not be, you know, a client of mine. They might not even work with me, but they just say, hey, Christina, I really want some help. And I'm always making myself available for those opportunities to give, you know, direct mentorship to people, to share, you know, access to my network. Like, do you need an introduction to someone that I know? I'm happy to do that for you. I remember one time, this is probably 2 years ago, and I was hiring and I was looking for young people because I was like, I need people that look like me. And I was like, don't send me a resume, don't fill out a job application, book a time to talk to me. And I had my whole week blocked out just for this. And I was talking to people in these 15 to 30 minute increments for like 10 hours a day. And this one guy I talked to, I was like, you know, what do you want to do? And he was like, well, you know, I want to go into script writing and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I want to be a screenwriter. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm in college for. I'm working part-time at, you know, McDonald's. And I was like, well, how many screenwriters do you know that work at McDonald's? And he's like, well, I don't know. And I was like, I want you to tell me how much it's going to cost for the software for you to start, you know, developing your own stuff. I know you're probably using it in college, but tell me how much it costs for you to have that software. And then I want you to look up the entry-level positions that you can get right now, because I don't want you to work with me. This isn't going to give you the experience you need to get to where you're going to go. You know, find those entry-level positions that you can take on now and pursue them. You know, send me your resume when you're done with it. Write a good cover letter and I'll pay for the cost of the software for you to be able to have something to show them. And he did it. And he called me back like 2 weeks later and he was like, thank you so much. I can't believe this happened. I was expecting to get a job from you, but you know, this is so much more rewarding. So that is what I dedicate my time to. But on the flip end, I talk to my mom every single day and she keeps me so grounded every single day. And I always have someone that I can, you know, talk to about what's going on with my clients, what's going on with my life. And it's funny, now she calls me this, she says, I'm a baby mogul. And I remember asking her if she thought that I was going to get to where I'm at now with my business. And she was like, well, yeah, absolutely. I knew that whatever you're going to be doing, you're going to be doing it well, and you're going to be doing it your own way. And it's interesting to see how other people had a lot more faith than I did in the very beginning. And they saw, you know, the world of things that I could do before I could even conceptualize that on my own. So having people that have constantly seen that vision for me prior to me being able to see it has been so rewarding. And it really gives me like a foundation for what I'm going to build on. And I think that's what counts.
That's so interesting. So it's from what I'm hearing is your gratitude actually translates back into service and giving for you. It's not about, you know, some people have gratitude practices where they journal or they take a moment of meditation or just some quiet time or a walk, and they're appreciating what's good in their life. And from what it sounds like, your appreciation for all the good in your life translates for you into giving more and sort of sowing out more and saying, okay, well, I've got all of this great goodness. I'm grateful for it. How can I serve more? Would that be accurate?
1,000%, because no one is benefited if I write in a journal about what's going on with me. You know, I might have a moment of clarity, but I'm looking for long-term impact. And that's the only way that I think that I found you can give that back. So, you know, for me, it's like, what is the best investment of my time? Is it to, you know, write in a journal? Is it to, you know, take a walk for 2 blocks? Or is it to say, you know, hey, I'll take a walk for 1 block, but for the time that I would do for the second, I want to make sure that I pick up the phone and call someone that needs my help.
Yeah. So that's gratitude in action is what that is. It's actionable gratitude, where you actually live out your gratitude through your life, which is a valid, definite gratitude practice. And I'm so grateful that you brought that up and demonstrated and explained and unpacked it, because we haven't talked about that on the show, that type of gratitude. So I just love, love, love that. Another like reason to love Christina. Oh, you are just incredible. So inspiring to me, not just because you're young and achieve so much, but really the human being and the quality of person that you are and the outlook and perspective that you have on life. It just is very inspiring, very grounding, and very holistic. And I just love that. So I know we could talk forever, and we have on Clubhouse for hours and hours. But if you had to think about like one or two things that you really want the audience to walk away from our conversation, really knowing and remembering, what would those be?
I would encourage people to think about the long-term impact of the work that they do. You know, what's going beyond just you? How are you touching someone else? And this could be as simple as the company that you choose to work for. Do they have ethical practices? You know, are you going to be happy where you work? Are your employees happy? So I think that those are the things that I encourage people to think about. How can you give back to others, even if it's something really, really small, like giving money to someone that's on the corner, you know? So I encourage people to think about those little things. And I encourage people to think about the options that they have just within the world. I think I spend a lot of time translating, you know, the 10 million strokes of genius that a client might have. And I have the job of putting it into a nice, pretty plan that makes sense and is actually actionable, is going to be profitable in the long run. But I encourage people to write down all of the beautiful ideas that they have and think for themselves about how they intersect. It might be a new product idea. You know, it might be, you know, a new business venture that you could have with your friend. You know, I encourage people to think about how they can pull those things together. And I think there's worlds and worlds of opportunity. And that's the first step. That's the easiest step. Everything gets difficult after that, but it's definitely worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. We all have innate, born with, it comes with the original intent packaging, gifts and talents that only we have to offer the world. And exploring that and releasing that is what's so important to really leave a legacy and have the maximum impact for your life. Oh, Christina, I mic drop on a lot of things you said. Listeners, if you need to rewind and pick up some of those wisdom nuggets, I encourage you to do so. And Christina, if people are like, this chick is bad, I need more of her, where can I connect with her? How can I find her? Where can I get, you know, details about her services, her company? How can I reach her? Where can people find you?
So the best way to get me is to get me directly. So I'll make sure that your listeners have the easiest way to get directly onto my calendar. Definitely feel free to connect with me on Clubhouse. I'm going through a rebrand, so my website will be down for a little bit. Not sure if it'll be up by the time that this is released, but I'm always looking to make time for people. So I'll make sure that you guys have the resources to be able to do that. And thank you, Michelle. I appreciate you so much. You're amazing.
Ah, listeners, you know, I'm going to hook you up, click and go in the show notes so that you can get to Christina with one click. Or you can always reach out to me and I can connect you. What is your handle on Clubhouse?
My handle is KSMG.
Yes. And when I tell you the rooms that she hosts and co-hosts and is a part of are just so value added. Christina, I'm so grateful that you had time in your busy schedule to come on the show. You are just incredible, have so much value to offer. And really, it's just beginning because you've got the rest of your life, which is going to be longer than mine because you are a Gen Zer and you've got so much gift to offer. And I'm so excited for every single person that hears your voice, that intersects with your life, that interacts with you in some capacity, because all you do is give value, value, value. So thank you so much for coming on the show and allowing me to introduce you to my audience. Audience, I know you got value. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate you so much.
And listeners, as I always say, keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never stop walking. Because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. And on the journey, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude. As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.